is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Rewards are stored up in heaven, but they're great rewards, and it's what we're called to. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then consider yourself a servant like Jesus. It's been said you don't know if you have a servant's heart until you've been treated like a servant. And so you might wonder, why did this happen? Why do I feel like they're treating me like a servant? Why is this so difficult? Well, it could be that God is allowing, not making them, but allowing certain things in your life to show you how little of a servant's heart you really have.
Today, Pastor Troy shares the beautiful message of the humility of our Lord as He washed His disciples' feet. He reminds us to serve the Lord by serving others, regardless of how we've been treated. We shouldn't think of ourselves as more important than anyone else. He uses humble servants for His glory. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Verse 6 says they love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. There was a parable in Luke chapter 14 of the ambitious guest. This person wanted to go sit closest to the host, to be there and be on the in crowd. He did whatever he could, get there really early to get that fine seat. But Jesus said, you know, not wise. Because someone more important may come and you have to kind of get pushed down a little bit. He says, it's better, take the lowest seat. And that way, when he says, hey, you are beneficial, you're coming up here. Then your praise can be from others. Then it's good. But don't seek to be important or to be considered important. But the Pharisees did not get that because they sought to be important. They sought the better seats. In Jesus' day, as today, there were status symbols, and there were things you could do to help enhance or protect your standing in society. For instance, if you were invited to the right homes, that was a very important thing. It's not really any different today. We've got the A-list in Hollywood, and we've even got it in certain circles in just the regular world. Then there were being seated in the right places or having seats reserved for you. This is reserved for our special people, these here. It was the front seats. You can see we have a very humble church. Or all our important people didn't come, one or the other. But in our culture, actually, the seats we like are often, well, it depends on the venue. Big venue, big name, front seat. Regular venue, we like the back seat. We can escape. We can see everything. We like that. Near the bathroom, you know, those kinds of things. But to have someone invite you to these places where somebody was and to be in the right homes and in the right seats, this was very important to them. And so they longed for these things. The emphasis for them was on reputation, what people thought about you, rather than on their character. What this meant for your personal growth. In the New Testament times, the closer you sat to the host, the higher you stood on the social ladder. So the more attention you would receive from other people. And wasn't that the goal? Maybe they can't invite the rabbi to their house, but if they see me hanging out with the rabbi, I'll get more invitations. So they wanted to rub elbows and those kinds of things. You see it today. You see people paying the big bucks to go and do certain things and be around certain people in the hopes that they'll see something or get some kind of advantage. They can be around these big people and these big names. It happens all the time. But Albert Einstein said something very good. He was pretty smart, actually. But he said, not wise, didn't say wise, but he was pretty smart. He said, try not to become a man of success. Instead, become a man of value. In other words, don't try to become someone who has an important role or is thought of as important. Be someone who is so valuable because of what you contribute and add and do that if you didn't do it, it'd be noticeable. Add value. Well, also, on the flip side of this, I want to say, be careful of false humility. Always taking the lowest place because it looks humble. You like the appearance of humility. It's very, very easy for someone to not have much and then go, well, we're humble people. We're humble because we don't have anything. So you don't have anything because you don't have much money first. Second, by the fact that you say we're humble people, there's already a little red flag. Because that doesn't mean you're humble. It means you're poor. Or means that you don't have much. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're humble. Looks are not everything. In fact, God is not concerned about who appears humble or who has less or even who has more. He's not concerned with our social status. How often we're at church, where we sit at church. Because he looks beyond all those things and he looks to our heart. He sees straight to our heart and he knows the truth. God uses humble people. Genuinely humble people. Because everyone else seems to get in the way. In fact, the more we try to become great, it seems the less useful we become to the Lord because he does such great things through those who depend on him. But the more great we become, the more we depend on ourselves and our ability, what we've learned, and the less we really depend on him and realize he is the one. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pursue excellence. We should do everything with excellence for the Lord. But don't depend on that to make you better. Charles Spurgeon said to his group of teachers who would become teachers, and he talked about those who would go up and kind of shoot from the hip, those who would just go up and share because they got the gift. They're able to share, you know, who go up and just talk to the people and wow them. And he said, that man who doesn't spend his time in diligent pursuit of knowing the Lord and knowing his word should not expect that the Holy Spirit will just show up on the spot. The Holy Spirit will not just show up for that man when he should be doing what he should do for himself first. Doing your due diligence. Saying, Charles Spurgeon is saying, don't just come up there and go, well, you know what? I'll just go lean on the Spirit. I'll just trust the Spirit. There are times where that's all you can do because they call you out. I got to say, Raquel, why don't you come and share your testimony right now? You didn't have time to prepare. But when you know you're going to do something, don't just go, well, I'm just going to depend on the Lord. Because here's what you can expect. You're going to be on your own. Now, the Lord will do his work. He's faithful to the genuine seeker. But don't presume that you're just going to come up and the Lord's going to anoint you and be with you. I love Charles Spurgeon because he was pretty direct with those. One time he said to people, he said, you know, there needs to be joy. You have joy in the Lord. So little joy in the expression of the people, especially his servants. He said, for some of you teaching the scriptures, you need to have a smile on your face. And whenever you talk about heaven, just let it ring and let joy beam from your presence. He said, and when you talk about hell, your normal appearance will do. God uses the humble. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." 1 Peter 5:5 says, "All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Those who lift themselves and think, "I am better than that person, I am doing well." When you start thinking that way, you put yourself in a place where you might find God resisting your efforts in your ministry. You get smarter, you get wiser, you grow in it, but you find God's resisting more than helping. We need to be very careful. Warren Wiersbe said, "Humility is fundamental to our faith, and yet it can be so elusive." He said, "If you know you have it, you've lost it." He went on to say, "Humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself at all. How does this affect me? What does this mean for me? How do people see me? What should I have earned? What should they have done? My rights." That's not humility. Jesus is the greatest example of humility. He washed his disciples' feet. The Lord of the universe stooped and took on the role of a house servant, a common house servant, and washed his disciples' feet and told them, "Now you do this. When you do what you do, do it to serve others. Not to gain position, not to be seen as important. Do it to serve first the Lord." But remember, we often serve the Lord by serving others. It'd be so easy for me to serve the Lord if I didn't have to serve others. If I just had to serve the Lord. He says, "Color me a picture." "You got it, Lord. I love you. Yeah, look at that. 10,000? I'll do it, Lord." But then if he says, "Go apologize to your wife and tell her you were wrong." but I wasn't wrong. I mean, not all of it. 90% wrong, but not, there was 10% in there, Lord. She should apologize too. That's serving others. "I know he treated you like a servant, but I want you to do that anyway. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?" "Yeah, but the way he treated me." "Yeah, but you're my servant. I didn't say you'd always have great masters." "Man, Lord, can't I just color the sheets? Can I just color the..." It'd be so easy to serve the Lord if it weren't for serving people. But the way we serve the Lord is by serving people. In fact, it's impossible to serve the Lord without serving people. And that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples as he bent and he sets this example for them as they go into the future. He's going to be leaving them. He says, "What I'm doing for you, what I've done for you, I want you to go and do that for the world. They're going to despise you. They're not going to like you, but I want you to continue to take this gospel, and I want you to care about people." God uses the humble, and we would do well to ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to imitate him. Verse 8, "But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ." Now, he's not saying don't use titles, like you can't, "Oh, I shouldn't call my father, father." Or, I'm a teacher at the school. I teach, but I'm too humble to be called teacher. There's only one teacher. That's not in the scripture. I'm an instructor. He's not saying that. Like you can't be called what you do. What he's saying is don't seek these places. See, in Israel, to be a teacher meant to bring upon yourself the authority and the prestige and the authority to expound them so that what I say is right. You need counsel from me. Yeah? Well, there's what you need to do. Maybe you don't even know what they should do, but hey, you are the leader. Here's what you ought to do. You do that. And this verse says this, and you do that. You go on now. Live your life for the glory of God. Yeah. Because I'm an authority. So I have the authority and I've just got to wield my authority. Jesus says, look, don't do that. Don't call yourself something important. You're not. If you expound the scriptures, if you're blessed to be in a situation, whether it's from a pulpit or just in a one-on-one way, to help someone learn the scriptures, just realize God has blessed you with an opportunity and use it for His glory. But you're not the one teaching. God does. The religious leaders took those roles upon themselves because they loved the authority and they thought highly of themselves because of their role. But let me tell you, and I'll use my role as an example. I'm in the role of pastor. And so I stand up here and I teach and I shepherd. I shepherd people. I'm involved in some of your lives. I know what's going on and I help nudge and guide on occasion. I really seek to let you do it yourself, but I'll do some of the nudging and guiding and I don't seem like the bad guy. But that's what I do. I help shepherd. But there are others shepherding you too if you're a Christian and you have Christian friends. They're coming alongside you and they're pointing their direction and they care about you and they take you under their wing. And it's not just me. It's others who are in your circle, those that you know, those that God brings into your life. I am in the role of a teacher. I'm teaching. I'm teaching the scriptures. I want to do the best job I can. But did you know that as you go out and you live your daily lives, God brings people into your life or brings you into other people's lives to help them understand the scriptures? So that when they're living it out, they go, I don't get this. And then they bring the scripture and you go, oh, it makes sense. There's a lot of teaching going on. It's not happening just right here and just once or twice a week. It's every day. It's daily. If you surround yourself with godly people, it happens even more often. And the conclusion is this. It's the Lord who's teaching us. It's the Lord who directs us. It's the Lord who begins to help us to understand things if we will listen. So don't think of yourself that you're the one needed to make things clear, to get things done, to get that person saved, to lead so effectively. You're not needed at all. I'm not needed at all. It's the Lord who accomplishes things. Verse 11. Here's what he says to us. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. God's desire for you is to be a servant of all. To be a servant. He's given you that opportunity in marriage, if you're married. He's given you that opportunity as a parent, as a child, wherever you're at, as a public servant, like policemen and firemen, they're actually called public servants. Initially, they weren't just law enforcement. They were public servants. And so when someone had a flat tire, they could pull up alongside. I mean, they had time to help out. Now we're giving them so much crime to deal with. You know, they don't have enough force to help with simple things, but they were just public servants. And as a Christian, that's what we become for the glory of God. Public servants. Our wages are not paid by the government or taxes. Our rewards are stored up in heaven. But they're great rewards. And it's what we're called to. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then consider yourself a servant, like Jesus. It's been said, you don't know if you have a servant's heart until you've been treated like a servant. And so you might wonder, why did this happen? Why do I feel like they're treating me like a servant? Why is this so difficult? Well, it could be that God is allowing, not making them, but allowing certain things in your life to show you how little of a servant's heart you really have. And to start bringing those things up so that they can be dealt with. And until they're dealt with, it doesn't matter where you go, whether it's you change churches or you change marriages and relationships and friendships, it doesn't matter. It's going to follow you because it's you. There are things in you that God wants to deal with. Don't be a Pharisee. Be genuine. Be a real Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't seek to look righteous. Look to Christ and follow Him. This will cause you to walk in His ways and become righteous. It'll keep you out of things like legalism, laying burdens on people, following laws instead of caring about people, which is what we should be about. The Pharisees missed it. Also, don't seek to be important. Submit to Christ. You are a public servant. Serve Him. And remember that it is Him that you're serving. Even though it seems like you're serving a person, even an ungrateful person, you are serving the Lord if He's called you to it. This will cause you to deny yourself, to remember that you're serving others for the glory of God. And then guess what? You will have great value. Better to be said of you, man, I miss that person. They did so much. They were so helpful. Than for them to say of you, man, thank God, they're gone. You don't want that. The greatest place, I threw a plug in last service, this is shameful, so not humble, but the greatest place for this kind of service in any church is the children's ministry. I got an amen, I think, a quiet amen from those in the children's ministry last service, but it's definitely a place that isn't about lifting you and is about caring about others. And my wife, she kind of gave me that idea, not to say this today, but when she was talking about her serving in the children's ministry, and she said, you know, I have children in the children's ministry, and I feel like because I contribute to the need for a children's ministry, it's only right that I should help the children's ministry. And I thought, wow, I never thought about that. I'm not taking any Sundays off to go in there. No, I didn't say that. That's a humble heart. There are a couple of differences in Pharisees and followers. We've talked about them. But I think the biggest difference is that a follower of Christ is on that upward call. He's becoming more Christ-like. A Pharisee is stuck. They're not growing. They're not being changed because they don't think they need to. So are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? Or can you see in you the potential for some Pharisee? We all have it. To say otherwise would be to deceive ourselves. And this answer to ask when I ask you if you're a Christian or do you have some Pharisee tendencies, you can't answer this with your voice right here, right now. You can only answer this by the way you live your life from this point forward. How are you going to live? Are you a servant of all? Evaluate yourself. Consider. And again, ask others outside your circle how you're doing, not your circle, because they've already become complacent. They're already in the same boat as you. They like you, you like them. Instead, find someone you look up to spiritually, and maybe even find someone that does find you a little frustrating. Say, I know you don't like me much, but what is it? Why? But most of all, take your heart before the Lord and let Him search it. And then whatever He's saying to your heart, make the necessary adjustments so that at all costs you can avoid it.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us. And please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.